Well, how many of you figured this out, right? Have you figured it out? It's not all in your head. The battle you feel is real. The battle you feel is real. There's one out there who wishes to take you out of God's destiny, his desired design for you, and he has planned for you. While the evil one may take aim, and his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to God, we have to remember, we have to continually come back to, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That the enemy that dwells in the world is not stronger than the one who we follow, who we claim, you know, as followers of Jesus. For we're, this is true, right? Scripture's true. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. If that is true, which I believe 100% true, then we are in a battle, and it's continuous. For those of us who have said yes to Jesus, who are following him in the journey and the destination that he has for us and the desired outcome, then we are in a battle, folks. The world is more than we can see. It's more than we can see. There is this unseen realm. It's a spiritual realm. And my desire through this series, as we started it last week, is to simply equip you for the battles that are, the battles that will come. Because we, as we equip ourselves in the battle, we'll win battle the battle. The war's won. But we have to win battle the battle. And Jesus desires to do that in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. Well, the enemy has many different names. Satan, the devil, Lucifer. As we learned last week, though, one of the names he goes by, one of the images that we see or pictures that we see is that he's called the deceiver. Just simply the deceiver. And from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, he deceived and twisted and took out, right? But today we're going to learn that he is called the accuser. Next week we're going to learn that he is called the destroyer. But I want to give you a few tidbits to chew on this morning and as we leave. The devil is the deceiver who attacks your mind with lies. So we must, as we learned last week, we must be people who are of the word. We have to replace the lies that we're told by him and the world with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of the Bible. The devil is the accuser who attacks your heart with accusations. We're going to talk about that today. And thirdly, the devil is the destroyer who attacks your will with pride, your will with pride. Today, the image we're looking at is the image of the devil as the accuser, the accuser. How many of you dads desire to be a good dad? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. Some hands need to go up, I think. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, I really do desire to be a good dad. And the longer I am journeying with Jesus, the more and more I realize how far away I fall. So last Friday, Abby had a volleyball game in Brighton. And both mom and dad wanted to go and be participants in watching and viewing. And anybody knows about the 23 corridor knows that to get from here to there is one that tests every part of who you are. The desire to be a good dad is tried in those moments. And mine was tried complete and over again. So while we tried to navigate across Territorial Road and then got on 23 and got off 23 and then... Sorry to people who live in Brighton in those very nice subdivisions. There was a guy traveling through at 35 or 40 miles an hour trying to make sure that I would be able to at least see some portion of the game. Now, we laugh, but for somebody who is kind of like a rule keeper, I struggle with this stuff. I mean, so afterwards it's all done. I'm watching the game. And just a little later, there's these like, I can't believe you lost it. I mean, I wasn't just driving fast, okay? I mean, I was kind of like, we're just, I mean, Kathy can attest, we're going to miss the game. What? I mean, I just want to see her play. I mean, this is my youngest. I want to see her last games. I want to see all this. I can't get there in time. And it's not as if I didn't know what was ahead of me. I mean, I kept on looking at Google Maps as I wait, you know. It's not that I didn't know. But then what comes afterwards is the assault of the heart. It's like, are you kidding me? You lost it. You could have hurt somebody. You're a terrible guy. The assault internally is just sometimes can be unbearable. Yet, there's a way out. There is a way out. In Isaiah 54, it says this, and you have to read the whole chapter to get it, but I love what it says there in the center. I have created the blacksmith who fans, God speaking, who fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction, and I have created the armies that destroy. So God's saying this. But then he says this, and this is the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the redemption of Zion. He says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord, and their vindication, you can say it, I can't, will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. It's not by a sword that it's going to be defeated, but there's another way. That the accusations that are assailed against us and more likely bother us from the inside than they bother us from the outside, yet both a fact, right, will be silenced. In Revelation 12:10, it says this, then I heard in a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Can you say day and night? Day and night, he's after you. Day and night, he is assaulting you. Day and night, he wishes to tear you apart. He wishes to silence your voice of praise and glory to him. He wishes to silence your very being and presence to reflect his light in the world. That's his desire. And yet, we know the war has been won. Yet, from battle to battle, we must live. The word used for accuser of the brothers and sisters is diabolos, which is used 35 times in the New Testament. This same accuser has been, as we read, has been hurled down, defeated by Jesus, death on the cross and the empty grave, which demonstrated, and you need to hear this, that demonstrated not only his power, but his consuming love for you. You see, we can say, well, God has the power, but where is it that we are matched with this consuming love? And it becomes so, so important when we talk about the battle. When we talk about who God is and his character and how he lives and what he is for us and to us. See, this is what happens. This is what happened to me on Friday. As subtle as it is, and we know how subtle the evil one is, the accuser is, before you sin, this is what the accuser says to you. He lies to you. He says, come on, everybody's doing it. It'll get you there faster, Steve. Just drive faster. Lose your temper. It's okay because, you know what, every father has and everybody has. It's okay. Just lose it. Just let her go. Right? All right? Go ahead and yell. Go ahead and bang on the steering wheel, which I didn't do. That may be you. Go ahead and act out in their heart. Go ahead and give that person your mind because you know they deserve it. Huh. Wow. Right? Have you ever been enticed that? Oh, go ahead and, yeah, just do that thing that you want to do. Just let it go. Right? But this is what comes in behind. The tone changes from the one who entices you to your own desires, to out, right? The tone of the accuser's voice changes after the temptation has given birth to sin, right? You're unworthy. You're unlovable. Ah, come on. You can't talk about Jesus now. Are you kidding? Just the tone changes. Come on. Everybody does it. It's okay. To this internal voice of when you want to speak, he goes, you can't. You better not, because they'll figure you out. They'll know you. So if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. When the devil talks to you about God, he lies. He lies. When the devil talks to you about God, he lies. Right? And when the devil talks to you about you, he accuses. Think about it, Adam and Eve. He lied. And then he accuses, and they hide. Right? It just happens. So how do we overcome the voices of the accuser? We'll be looking at a powerful personal and prophetic text. In fact, the whole book, if you read it, is found in this vein from Zechariah. So if you have your Bibles, it's found in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 3, 669 in the physical Bible that sits in front of you in the rack. You can open it up and we'll look at it together. What we'll be reading is allowing our imaginations to picture is a courtroom in heaven. And this was what Zechariah was seeing. There are three characters in the story. First, there's God, and God is the judge. Second, there's Joshua, who is the high priest. And third is the accuser, the devil himself, who is the prosecutor bringing a case regarding Joshua before God. The accuser seems to have a case against Joshua, right? So we look at it. And the accusers are attempting to bring this case of Joshua and convince the judge, the right and righteous, just judge, of Joshua's guilt. And as Joshua stands before God, his robes are dirty. A high priest's robes should never be dirty. They should always come before the Lord clean and gleaming and spotless. And yet we come to understand that this idea of dirty robes is a representative of not dirty clothes necessarily, but a heart that is stained, that is filthy. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing right at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this man a burning stick? Is this not a man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua is dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. In this picture, we not only have the three characters, but we have one that appears, an angel of the Lord. This is often called an epiphany or a Christophany, some people would call it. And you find a grand picture of this in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Where there's a story of three Hebrew men, wise men, if you will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have been living and will continue even in this state of being in captivity as men who are living for Yahweh in every way possible. They're praying to him, they're living to him, they're eating the food that only he directs, all of these things. And there's a creed that's given down that everyone was to kneel to the king, Nebuchadnezzar at the time. And they didn't. And because they didn't, they are thrown into a blazing furnace by the king. And the very guys that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire are burned up. But all of a sudden, King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in there, and he's like, wait a second, didn't we throw three people into that fire? Didn't we throw three into the fire, into the flames. He said, I see a fourth one in there. This is probably one of our grandest pictures of a Christophany or an epiphany of God, an angel of the Lord in the midst. He is in the fire with them. He's standing amongst them. And back to Zechariah, Joshua is standing before the angel of the Lord. Satan is thus rebuked, yet he continues to be accused and is ridiculed. Is Joshua guilty? Joshua's guilty. His clothes are filthy. He's standing before the Lord Most High. He's found to be not in right standing. Yet, in the passage we read, that he was like a stick grabbed from the fire. This imagery is this idea that he was saved just in time, that he was plucked on purpose. Have you ever been to an occasion where you're underdressed? Yeah, you know, every once in a while we go to an occasion and we realize the t-shirt and shorts just wasn't the call for the day, right? Not too often, but it's revealing though, right? It's exposing. In some ways, we wouldn't say they're naked, but in some ways we just like, whoa, I didn't dress, even if you were. You know, there's this exposure that happens, and this is what's happening to Joshua before the very Lord. Imagine standing before God. It's not that you're undressed, that you have clothes on, but you have a stain. And God's pure. His radiance is permeating every room, every crevice or every crack of that room. God is holy, and you realize in that moment you're exposed. The radiance of his holiness shows the stains and the filthiness even of the very smallest spot. Stands in such a grand contrast to the Holy One of what you're looking upon. These are true things that might come out, right? You remember that college class you cheated? You remember that? Remember that you use the Lord's name in vain? I mean, you live cheaply. You say you're a Christian, but you live cheaply. Oh, you remember that lie you told just so that you wouldn't have to get caught into that thing? Remember that time you threw that chair in anger, Steve? Remember, Steve, you've let people down. Right? I mean, whatever yours are, they may be the same. As we stand before the holy God, he's holy. And this is what we know. The devil becomes the accuser. He stands there going, hey, you're unworthy. You're unlovable. You're dirty. You're filthy. He does this all day and all night. Yet we know and we're grateful that that's not the end of the story. There is a good news, and the good news is to change your life, and you're standing before a righteous, holy, pure God. Allow your heart and your eyes, if you will, to listen and read along. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. The righteous one advocates. The righteous one is for you. The righteous one will call you. He will call you. Right? The devil, the accuser is trying to prove Joshua's guilt. Remember, Jesus is our defense. He stands there on our behalf. And in Zechariah 3:4, it says that to us. It says, angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin and I have put fine garments on you. Some of you will quickly see this and understand this, for it is by grace you have been saved. God takes the clothes from you. You couldn't do anything to get them off. You couldn't get the stain out if you scrubbed for a million years. It's there. But God just takes the clothes. The angel of the Lord in this passage takes the clothes. There's a story found in the New Testament some of you are familiar with. It's found in Luke 15. And God and Jesus is telling the story of two sons. One who wanted his inheritance, so the father gave it to him. I mean, which is very unusual. You don't ask for your inheritance when you're 18. You wait for it until your dad, mom die, or they pass it on to you at a later time. But he wanted it then, and so dad said, okay, it's yours. Take it. He went out and lived far from his father's desired design for him. Far from it. After all the parties, living the dare life, not the truth life, but the dare life. One day he realized he's short on money. In fact, he's out of money. And he's slopping the pigs. And he realizes, wait a second, my dad's servants eat far better than this. He knows how to take care of them. My dad is gracious. So he begins to set out. What we find in this story is, the crazy thing is, while the son is off doing his thing, the father has never stopped looking down the road for his son. The father has never stopped going around town going, hey, have you seen my son? Do you know where he's at? Do you know? My heart breaks that he's not here. So as the son is making his way up the road, I believe this about the story. And it is a story, but it's the truth about God, that God saw him far before he ever saw his home even, and begins to run. You see, this is the image that Zechariah is painting for us. This is the image that God has delivered to Zechariah in this place, that he's seeing you, he knows what you need, and he's going to change your clothes. And in fact, that's what the father does in Luke 15. He completely changes his clothes. Says, take off his clothes, give him this. Give him a ring, give him sandals. Make sure he is set in the family like he should. Love it. So in Zechariah 3, Joshua is guilty. He's just guilty. But the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, Old Testament, says to take off the sin-stained clothes and place gleaming garments that are given to him. That are given to him. He can't earn them. There was nothing he could do. Taking away the sin, he couldn't scrub it out, as I said before. And this is where we read, continuing in verse in Zechariah 3. Then he said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. So while we're guilty, the angel of the Lord restores him completely. While we're guilty, he restores us completely. And this is the interesting thing. He says, keep serving. Keep serving. Keep pursuing me. Keep doing what you've been doing. You know the way. I'm charging this before you. Some of us this morning needed to hear this. You've been living under the accusation of the devil. The accuser has been leveling words at you. After what you did, you can't. Who do you think you are? You never will. Come on. You don't have the ability. You have doubted. So that just leaves you out of the equation. You can't doubt. Right? You have battled with this thing or that thing for so long. Who do you think you are? God says, no, I've forgiven you. Your clothes have been changed. So go back to the temple. Keep serving the Lord. Stay in the game. Keep sharing my name with people. Continue to love all people as I have loved you. Your clothes have been changed. Continue on. As followers of Jesus, how do we know when we have sinned and done something wrong between the voices in our head? I mean, when we are guilty of sin, how do we know between that and the accuser's voice? I mean, it's real. We do sin. We have to confess. We have to ask for forgiveness. We have to lead a life of repentance and contrition. That is true. But how do we know the difference? What stands out so that we can know? It's this. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. He calls you by your sin. But Yahweh knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Right? Oh. Steve, come on, come back. It's okay. Confess it. You're in the wrong. But you will hear your name. The accuser just calls you your sin. So what's our next step? What do we do? We need to be people of the word, who know the word, who read it and speak the word of God. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. When the enemy starts lying to us, accusing us, telling us what we're not, we take thought captive. We hold it, and we fight with spiritual weapons. And what are those spiritual weapons we fight with? We fight with the word of truth against the lies of the devil. We fight against it. When you hear that you're a failure, you're no good, what do you respond with? No, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. The old is gone. I am new. Right? God is punishing you. God is punishing you. That's what you hear. Oh, you've been put out. This is happening because you've been punished. Oh, no, my Father is good. He gives good gifts to his children who love him. The attack is from the evil one, and the evil one wants it to be harmed. What do we say back? No, my God will use it for good. As he did in Joseph's life, he will do it in mine. Get back. I may be going through a hard time right now, but hey, I consider it pure joy, my brothers, when I face trials of many kinds, because I know the testing of my faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work in me so I may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Can you say anything? Nothing, absolutely nothing, anything. God doesn't love you. No, I take that thought straight to Jesus, and I will rejoice always, and I will say it again, I will rejoice because the Lord is near. I'm not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, I make my request known unto my God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard the heart and my mind in Jesus Christ. God doesn't love you. Oh, come on. God doesn't love you. No, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us with his own son's life. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither demons or principalities, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will silence every voice raised up to accuse me, Isaiah 54 says. I will silence every voice raised up to accuse me. I'm not who the devil says I am. I'm not what the devil says I did. I'm not who Christ says I am. I am who Christ says I am. He says, I'm his child, I belong to him, I'm a kid of the king. That's who I am, that's who you are as a follower of Jesus. And whenever the devil accuses you, you're not, you can't, you capture that thought. When he says you can't, you make it obedient to Christ, and Christ's word is truth that speaks against it every day, all day long, all night long. You're not who your enemy says you are. He's trying to talk you out of living for God, glorifying God, making a difference, being connected to people. He wants to take you out. He wants to just silence you. He has a mission to kill, steal, and destroy everything that matters to him. Everything. The good news, you and I have an advocate. And that advocate is our defense, and it is Jesus Christ, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. And he says, no, it's not true. That is not true. She is a new creature in me. He is a new creature in me. Jesus is your advocate. Remember that today, friends, as you memorize, as you read, as you immerse yourself into the Word of God, and as you speak the truth from your mouth into the lies that are into your head and around you all day long. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for giving us the power of the living Word to defeat the lies with the truth. Jesus, you did it yourself. You defeated Satan with the truth of the Word of God. What an example. Thank you. Father, I ask right now, would you renew those who have been defeated this morning by the accusations of the accuser? Would you renew them in truth? Would you call them by name into grace this morning? Would you set them free with your truth? Some of you friends need to be prayed over and prayed with this morning because you have been living inside the accuser's accusations for way too long. And you need friends to come and help you out of that. We want to do that this morning at the front before we even, as we pray, as we end this prayer and as we sing, you come forward. We want to pray into you. We want to pray through you. There are some of you, though, this morning who need to step in and confess your sin. You need deep forgiveness because your arrogance and pride has set you up against the very destination, the very desire of God. And you know that this morning. Step in to his presence as he calls your name. Father, would you allow us to fully immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to allow us to care it fully, not just in part, not just to save us from flames, but to really do battle for you in our minds and around us. Some of you here this morning realize you've been hiding. God's walking in the cool of the night, and he's asking you questions right now, and you realize you don't have a response for him. It's blame, it's deflection, it's not you, it's somebody else. This morning, we're just going to call you to come forward. If that's you, you need to come out of hiding this morning. Some of you realize you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. And you need to walk in the relationship that is a consuming love for you, a desire to live to your design and your fullness, and you realize you're not. If that's you this morning, this is your prayer. I just ask you to repeat it in your mind, in your heart, sincerely to the Lord. Father, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your spirit to follow you. Silence, Father, the accusations, those that say I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, I'll never be anything, and replace them with the truth, your truth, Father. My life is yours. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.